You're listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. And that's, House of the Rising Sun. And the sun is rising, I think. Summer is almost upon us. And even in spring, people are enjoying the outdoors after a really rough winter. But the sunny days are not innocuous. Public health nurse and health center correspondent Barbara Glickstein worked for a time in a dermatologist's office many years ago and continues to pay attention to issues related to skin cancer. And she's joining me live now back on Health Center in the Catskills to talk about some of these issues. Welcome back, Barbara.
Thank you, Diana. Yeah, I worked at NYU in a dermatology surgery practice that helped me pay for my tuition to become a nurse. So it was a very good job and got me through nursing school tuition free. I worked hard to get that tuition free. So I want to start with, yes, we want to be outside. We want to enjoy the sun. We all need it. We all thrive on needing our vitamin D. Most of us are on vitamin D supplements because we're not getting enough absorption. And certainly as you're aging, please have your vitamin D levels checked with your primary care provider. So I'm going to start with, yes, go outside. Go out when the UVA radiation is not as strong. So it's strong between, 10 a.m. noon till 2 o'clock, 4 p.m. it starts to get less. So plan your outdoor time. For those listening who are gardeners, try and get out of bed and have your coffee or tea and get your gardening done before the heat of the day. Maybe there's a shaded area that you can do this work in, although I know your plants and vegetable gardens need the sun. Wear a hat, wear long sleeves, and hopefully, cover your legs with light material pants, use UV blocking sunglasses. There are now protective clothing that has the SPF factor in it. I looked at some of the data on it. It's better than not having it, but it's questionable whether it's fully protective and you should therefore cover up with sunscreen as well. And find shade. I'm already walking on the shady side of the street everywhere I go, including in the winter. How about you, Diana?
Oh, yeah. I don't look to be out in the sun. I really don't. I mean, I want that vitamin D. I really do. And I love having the sun shining when I'm walking. But, I've got sunglasses on with, the lenses that block the rays, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what I just forget to do too often, though, is so I am long sleeves because of the ticks and long pants because of the ticks, but I often forget to put the sunscreen on my nose and my face where I've already had basal cells.
Good reminder then. And I know you're not a big hat person, although
I
you am. Occasionally wear a hat.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
All right. It doesn't cover your nose completely, though.
No, it doesn't.
So I know that we've talked about this seasons before coming into summer, and there is a news hook that I'd like to bring to everyone's attention, even for those of us who've never even thought of going to a tanning salon using a tanning bed. But I want to start by talking about public health as two public health community health nurses, and I know you frame many of your programming around this issue. It's a community-based preventative discipline, right? So when we talk about why there are rules or there's legislation or there's reminders by this radio show, by you and your guests, it's because the collection of our voices needs to be heard, and it's not about personal lifestyle choices. Not everything is. And so we have these safety regulations, like seat belts and smoke-free indoor spaces and water treatment and number of public health measures that sometimes we forget about because they're in the background. They're not in the foreground. And so personal choices, yes, but collective public health decisions to protect us must be still maintained as a nation and globally. And so what I want to talk about are regulations that are being abandoned by the Food and Drug Administration under the direction of RFK Jr. Sorry. Decades ago, in 2015, the FDA established a restriction on device use for some lamp products to the use of individuals age 18 and older. And some states, in addition to this federal regulation, having over 23 states also have their own restriction on the books in the Department of Health, in their Department of Health. And in order to use it for 18 and above, you had to read a risk acknowledgement certification before you could use the tanning bed, and you were required to be given a user manual if you purchased one, telling you the harms to it. So in March of this year, the FDA put wheels into motion, and it has withdrawn this decade-old plan for protecting people, but in particular protecting minors, because now you can be any age and go in and have and use a tanning bed. And here's where the public health piece becomes forgotten. I'm so confused because too often we're hearing from this administration that they support personal choice and, in this instance, parental decision-making. This is the same language they're using about vaccinations and childhood vaccines. And that compliance is a burden on small businesses. So all of a sudden we're concerned about personal choice, families being able to take their children to tanning salons. And I'm using children purposely because under 18, they are still children. And this is a burden on a small business to turn away a teenager who can't prove their age. This happens if you go to a bar and want to order a drink. So I don't understand the burden. So here we go again. Only certain things are really truly personal choice. And I won't digress, but you know that I support reproductive choice. But that's not a personal choice this administration can support. This is where there are lots of laws and rules taking away women's agency. So I don't know if you want me to pause. I can go into the data and also tell you before I do that if you go on TikTok, which I don't use, but I did for this reporting, you're going to find lots of videos of young people, mostly women, who say, I don't care if it's not good for me. I look great with a tan.
So do say why, what we know about these tanning beds and cancer.
Yeah, well, there's extensive data that shows that indoor tanning significantly increases your chance of developing skin cancer. The American Academy of Dermatology in a 2025 survey, to go back to the youth concern, found that 20% of Gen Z prioritize getting a tan over protecting their skin. And again, 25%, not just a TikTok. This is a survey by the American Academy of Dermatology, said it's worth looking great, even if it means suffering later. In December of 2025, the journal Science Advances, researchers found that tanning bed users were 3 times as likely to develop melanoma, which is the deadliest form of skin cancer. And I'll add that although my father did not sunbathe, he didn't like that. He took us as kids to the beach and always sat under an umbrella. We would often go late in the day. And my father had melanoma and subsequently died from melanoma in his 80s. And they found the melanoma by the melanoma was discovered by a podiatrist on the bottom of his foot, a small black mole. And I then subsequently found out that the bottom of the feet is a common place where people discover their melanoma. So So this is the deadliest form of skin cancer, and they compared them to people who had never tanned indoors. Why is this happening? They don't know exactly what creates it, but it changed the melanocytes in the skin cell, and that the ultraviolet radiation is 10 to 15 times stronger than what you get from the sun in a tanning bed.
Wow.
So what we also know is that those who are using tanning beds before the age of 20 have nearly a 50% higher risk of melanoma. And those are from major meta-analyses of these. So here we have a serious public health concern by an administration that proposes that they care about children, and we're removing a regulation that has protected them. So this is my confusion, Diana.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm wondering when they're going to decide that you can buy cigarettes again at any age. And they're going to take the warning off the package, or that you can buy alcohol at any age. And what, so people, I think you're right, this idea that, well, it's my choice. Well, it may be your choice, but the cost is to society as a whole if you make a bad choice. You may not have health insurance in the future, and it may be that my tax dollars are paying for your care. It's one of the reasons why we put in the idea of seatbelts, because we're able to get the seatbelt laws changed because when people are thrown from their car, they become paralyzed or they have a traumatic head injury that they wouldn't sustain otherwise, usually, if they have their seatbelt on. And we know that the costs of those injuries are huge, and few people can sustain them on their own when you've become paralyzed or you've had a terrific or horrific head injury. And so, this idea that your choice is your choice, well, it does affect all of us. And there is this sense, Barbara, I feel like we're losing sight of the health of a population is very, very important to the economic viability of a country. If you don't have a healthy workforce, you're not going to have the workforce you need to be productive, et cetera. And so all of this stuff is intertwined. And you're right. You know, when you say, you know, they've taken away women's reproductive rights and choices in reproductive health, I'm wondering what's going to come next.
Well, I thought about this too, Diana, and I was, you know, I did some research on climate change and exposure to UV radiation due to climate change, because one of the Make America Healthy Again quotes are coming out of this RFK Jr. is, we have to get people more outside and in the sun. And then I did some reading about his, he kind of flip-flopped now that he's become, you know, his position in this administration, where he used to speak out in support of climate change, and now he is not. As a matter of fact, he, in 2025, he moved and cut NIH programs that were focused on climate change and its impact on public health, along with many, many other important research projects out of NIH. And this was one of them. So we do know that with the increasing ozone layer and the increasing lack of cloud cover, that we are all exposed to more UV radiation light from the sun. So, I also think about how we must not silo decisions that we see coming out of any government, and particularly this government. So we see the deregulation on this piece, and its connection to, on one hand, the Make America Healthy Again movement saying, get more sun, get more light. Now they're letting it be through exposure of anyone of any age with parental consent. I was a teenager once. I knew how to get around that one, as most teenagers do. And I'm telling the truth here, and I'm wondering if the person working at that sun lamp, sun bed tanning salon, which are now throughout the country is really going to start checking for notes from parents and IDs, right? Yeah. All hell will break loose.
Yeah.
So there's this question of the impact on climate change, the impact of increasing UV radiation exposure. You know, Australia has very strict rules around everything having to do with sun exposure, including, I know you've been there more than once, Diana, all of their playgrounds are tented with beautiful canopies so that children can be outside and play, you know, play in the shade. They have the highest risk of melanoma in the world, followed by Great Britain. And the other thing I want to suggest is, it's not hard to notice that RFK Jr. is always very tan.
Yes. Yes.
And he was asked by in an interview last year about whether he spends time tanning, and he told the reporter, quote, "I'm not telling people that they should do anything that I do." So here's a person who has used themselves as a personal model and example of health. And we see it in the exercise, wearing his blue jeans and shirtless.
Yes.
We see it in his meat consumption. We see it in the people he has surrounded himself with. And I just would urge everyone to peel away from some of this and think the way that I know you're all capable of thinking, which is with clarity and simple thought, that you have the ability to think for yourself and make some really good health decisions.
Yeah.
This would be one I would not follow.
Yeah.
I would not be running to tanning beds.
No, I would not either. Not at all. And I grew up in the era where you absolutely put yourself out in the sun with baby oil and Mercurochrome mixed in with
too.
It. Yes, slathered all over you.
Oh, dear Lord. And,
right. And I have issues with basal cell cancers now. I look for the melanomas because that's not the one I want at all.
Yes.
You do not want the melanoma. So you're pointing out the importance of, or the connection potentially between these tanning beds and higher rates of melanoma is, I think, really important. So it's, we only have about a minute left, but if in the sources that you looked at, if somebody's thinking, I need to learn more about this, is there a good source out there that you found?
Well, since this announcement, there's been some good science coverage on the websites of public radio, like your public station, mm-hmm. with citations. I looked at the Environmental Working Group. It's a source that I do rely on for a number of products that I purchase. I would direct people there. They do a really good review of sunscreens. They've tested sunscreens for their effectiveness and what they claim on their label. And I think that they also have some information about the SPF clothing. You know, I have one good friend who lives with lupus who has to be extremely careful about sun exposure. It's something that people with that autoimmune disease have to avoid. And she wears in the summer and in the warmer, once the weather starts shifting, mostly all of her clothes are purchased off of sites like that. This is not a commercial for them. I'm just suggesting that for some people don't like the feeling of sunscreen. They're concerned about it. This is another misnomer coming out of this administration that sunscreens are toxic. If you get a good product and one that works for you and your skin and your body, please use it. There's enough data supporting its effectiveness in cutting out the UV rays that are dangerous.
And that Environmental Working Group's website is EWG.org. That's EWG.org, Environmental Working Group. And you've been listening to Barbara Glickstein, public health nurse and health center correspondent. Always great to have you back on Health Center in the Catskills, Barbara. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for checking in and happy to be here today. Take good care.
Okay. Bye-bye.